Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Tuesday, February 11th, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight to American Freedom Watch Radio. I'm not having a very good time talking today. It's been one of those days, so I apologize before I even say anything else. But anyway, tonight, American Freedom Watch Radio with Karen Schoen and John Estabrook. While I may seem to be having some problems talking, I guarantee you I can get a few good rants out here before we get started. And keeping with tonight's theme, the dumbing down of Americans, and Karen and John can explain that later, just wanted to, you know, when I see what these people in public office are doing, primarily our friends in the GOP, because they seem so schizo out there, and they, I don't know what they're trying to prove, you got to say, how dumb do they think we are? How dumb are we? Because here they are playing games with amnesty. First they're going to come up with their amnesty principles, then they're going to do this, and now they're not going to do anything because they realize the American people don't want amnesty. They do seem to truly know that, but then somehow they think they're going to buy the amnesty vote if they do this. All the Latinos are going to love them, and, you know, just the nuttiness. And it's like, so who's really dumb here? Are they the ones that are dumb or downright stupid? Or are we the ones dumb and downright stupid for reelecting them? You know, this thing about this dumbing down of Americans, I think, really plays true when we talk about the amnesty situation. You know, it's just amazing to me. And then you go and take that, and again, the dumbing down of Americans. Do most Americans know what a dictator is? I don't think they do, because if they know what a dictator is and they have any clue what communism is, they'd have to say, gosh, we live in a communist country and we have a dictator named Obama. But I don't know that Americans and these people that are in public office today, I don't think they know either. So the way this guy is violating his oath of office and he is causing harm to others, there is absolutely no reason why they have not taken action to impeach him, except that they are scared for their own jobs or they're too dumb to know any better. You take your pick. Just totally annoys me to death. And here we have literally training the National Guard to fight against Americans who believe in the Second Amendment. Okay, who's dumb here? Who's being dumb / stupid? Is it the American people or these people we put to office, thus making us the dumb ones because we keep sending them back? But I will, and on that, I'm going to leave that note there, but I do have some good news I have to share today. Here in Orlando, we were talking about eminent domain, city of Orlando using eminent domain to take a church away from a black community. Orlando has gotten an awful lot of negative publicity. So see, when we speak, it does make a difference. When we get involved, it does make a difference. And they have withdrawn the eminent domain situation and are now in renegotiation or something to that effect. But they're out there trying to negotiate with the landowners individually. And also, this crazy thing about, believe it or not, it's illegal for them to do this in the state of Florida. After the Connecticut deal, I'm trying to remember the name of that case, the Connecticut case, but after that case where they literally stole people's homes to give it to a private developer, Florida and many states enacted much stronger property rights laws and some protection against eminent domain. But many Americans don't know what their rights are. And also, the state government's gone and changed the laws when they feel like it to suit their needs. But for now, at least we can say we have blocked the eminent domain from the city of Orlando for right now, and we've got to keep with the pressure to not let them just take a home so that they can build, so taxpayers can build a sports stadium to give to a private entity, a sports team, welfare for billionaires, while, of course, most of us can't. They can't afford to build our roads. They can't afford to, of course, we can't afford Obamacare and all these other kind of crazy things they're doing. But at least we've got a little bit of a reprieve on that. So on that note, I'm going to hand it over to Karen and John. Have fun.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, on Tuesday night from 8 to 10, and on Red State Talk Radio, Wednesday, 12 in the afternoon, Sunday, 12 in the evening. And I heard you, John, you can't escape. I know you're there. How are you?
Yes, I'm divine, dear.
Doing
well,
great.
That is good news. By the way, Sally, it was the Kelo decision. And what that decision
did,
Supreme Court, and this is one of the things that we have to understand. The Supreme Court does not rule that the law is the law of the land. And that's a misnomer, especially an unconstitutional law. An unconstitutional law, no matter how many times you repeat it, is never the law of the land. And in this decision, the Supreme Court, as Sally said, gave an entire town to a developer who had a vision. People were forced out of their homes. The whole community was destroyed. And I'm going to use a new word. It's called sprawl, because they were trying to eliminate sprawl. Now, what exactly is sprawl? Well, in the case of Kelo, sprawl means non-conforming. So if you live in a community where you might have a big house, a little house, a long house, a short house, a two-floor, a one-floor, a brick, a log cabin, stucco, that's called sprawl, because everything is not uniform and is not exactly the same, because sprawl creates income inequality. Somebody might have a quarter of an acre. Somebody might have half an acre. Somebody might have 10 acres. Well, to this crowd of communists, everything must be exactly the same, uniform. So therefore, there is no income inequality. And in this Supreme Court decision, they destroyed an entire town, which if you drive there today, looks like a garbage pit instead of a town, because the private developer went belly up and never built anything. And that is, thank goodness. And you know what, Sally, the good news is people working together. That's the whole thing, folks. That is the whole key. When our voices are loud and strong because we're united over an issue, that's when they hear us. And also, we had good news on immigration. It looks like John Boehner decided that there's no really appetite to discuss immigration. And, of course, I love the way he put it, which was so great, which was, we have no confidence in Obama. I remember in history multiple times when many groups of people would go and they would have a vote of no confidence. Then what happened after that? There was usually an election. So, folks, no confidence means no confidence.
No confidence on either side.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. You're right.
You're right. After today, I was ready to, I guess, rip whatever hair out of my head that I have and ready to go and shake the nearest politician from the trees, because we now have a clean debt ceiling raise deal. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah, and you know, that leads into what I have to say about Mr. Boehner and the actions that he's taken over the last week. Everything is about the Republicans and their desire to control the Senate and to maintain control over the House of Representatives. And they don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart. The citizens won because Mr. Boehner and the Republicans are being politically correct to their benefit. You know, they don't want to have the immigration deal blow up in their face, because what they know about that is that their far-right portion of their party will destroy them, and that's this is efforts to silence us. You know, if they don't give us any voice, they know that if there's another battle over the budget and the increasing the debt ceiling, that they lose. That's the way they view it. So rather than do that, they have passed some politically correct legislation so that we won't have to have that argument in the election year. And it suits their needs. And I guess overall, the people benefit, because they're not going to take any action against us. But they did give by this legislation, Barack Obama in power. That's kind of it's easy to get confused. But the powerful dictator now has control to spend and go through the debt ceiling like there's no tomorrow, and that to me is frightening. And I think that is a big loss for the people, to where it is seen by Boehner and the Republicans to be a big plus for them, and they will use it like Obamacare to sledgehammer to build their majority that they require, and then it will be up to us to monitor what happens once they receive this majority that they think they're going to get.
Well, we have gone through, John, a lot of digging in our state because, as you know, we have a gubernatorial election coming up. And the things that we have uncovered is so incredible that there is absolutely no difference between the two parties. If we put Rick Scott right next to Charlie Crist, and people would say, well, how could you vote for Charlie? He's a Democrat. We'll turn the state blue. My answer is now, what's the difference? Difference does it make?
And if we continue to elect them, they're the same.
They are exactly the same.
Same thing here in Louisiana, Karen. You know, when we started to look at this, you know, what do we have to do to defeat Mary Landrieu? One of the things that we recognize we're fighting is the establishment Republicans in the state of Louisiana have financially backed and supported Mary's other campaigns.
Are you serious?
I'm talking dead serious. It's on the books. It's evidence. We've got proof. In fact, one of the guys, Woody Jenkins, that ran against her, not this last, her last election, but the election prior to that, and was actually defrauded out of the election and never did fight it, he's actually a large campaign contributor to her in the very next election that she ran for. And he's an establishment Republican candidate.
Oh, my God.
One and the same, sweetie. So, I mean, that's what we're confronted with, and that's what I say. Mr. Boehner is you know, he's feathering his nest by not taking any action that will be seen by any of the, I guess, the people in the middle that they may be hoping to entice to vote Republican. But the bottom line is that this is everything, that the action that were taken by Boehner and the Republicans over the last week is nothing more than political campaigning.
Wow. You know that, but when we say it, it sounds horrible. It sounds like, how can you do this? I was listening yesterday to a radio show that was on in California, and the woman that was speaking was talking about the massive drought that's on in California and how disastrous it is and how it's going to impact the food supply and how it is going to destroy what's left of the farmland in California as it just becomes a major dust bowl. So I'm listening to her, and I'm saying to myself, I wonder if she's going to mention it, and thank goodness she did. She said the major problem of why we have this drought has nothing to do with the weather. It's because the EPA shut off the water.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
you know,
ma'am. There's a lot of groups out there fighting and have been fighting that battle for, I guess, the last 6-8 years that I know of. I mean, they're really battling it, and that is the reason.
How stupid can the people in Congress be to allow this to happen that will disrupt the food supply?
Well, now, you got to ask, you're asking the wrong questions. It's not about their stupidity or their intelligence. It's how much of their wealth would they lose if they wouldn't be taking the lobbyist dollars of the people that this has benefited? You know, when my kind of primary role, we've done a huge service to our Congress and our senators when it comes to energy, But in, along the same lines, when we start talking about what the EPA has done in California and going to turn it into a dust bowl, look at what the EPA has done to the coal-fired plants. And how is that going to impact? Right now we have a national weather advisory, and they are cautioning people, and they anticipate a severe loss of life in this next severe weather that's coming over across the East Coast right now. And it's going to go through the Carolinas. People will be without power in this ice storm. And then you, how many times have you and I said, prepare, folks, prepare, get yourself prepared. But I was doing some reading today, and one of the things that I have, that I know that you have spoke to on numerous occasions on this show, was the impact of using our corn crop for the production of ethanol, and how that's going to impact people. Well, here you go, folks, because guess what? Because of the use of corn for ethanol, a lot of the natural gas, the propane supply, has been depleted by 30% over the last year. And guess what that propane was used to do? To dry the corn for ethanol processing. So how, you know, how stupid is that?
How stupid is that?
Yeah. So you got people going to freeze to death. And that's what, when we talk about the loss of life in a winter storm, it's people freezing to death. Now, now if and there's a stark reality that, you know, when you're warm, you can't associate, you know, any, but I cannot imagine what that will be like. And that means they're clearly anticipating a large loss of life. And it will be because people freeze in their homes in the United States of America. Give me a break. The idiots in Washington that are taking these envelopes of money and are being bought off by these lobbyists have not allowed us to expand natural gas, have not allowed the production of gas pipelines into the East Coast. And why is that? Who shuts down pipeline production and pipeline construction into the East Coast? The EPA. And the very people that have closed down these coal-fired utility plants. Who?
Well,
the
wait till that
one.
Yeah, that's another one, John, because what happens now with all of the coal swabs, you know, people don't realize years and years ago, we used to take coal, bring it to the houses, dump it in the coal bins, and then the coal would be shoveled into the boilers. And yes, that created pollution. Yes, that was not a good thing. But that was how many years ago? 50 years ago? 60 years ago? Today, the coal goes to a refinery. It goes into a boiler. But what comes out is not black soot and dust. What the product of that is electricity. Where do they think the electricity is going to come from? What kind of wind turbine or what solar plant in the middle of a blizzard is going to give us enough electricity so that people will not freeze? I haven't found one yet. And now, I just read yesterday that in their brilliance, the EPA wants to ban wood-burning stoves. I feel like I'm living in a surreal universe. It's not.
Well, at some point in time, Karen, we have to say that there are agencies inside, you know, they're I guess I do not want to see the destruction of the planet, and I know that you don't. And you know, but I do want, I value human life far more than I do, you know, polluting the atmosphere, and I just got to say that. I would rather save a human life and have a guy be able to burn wood if that's what's going to keep him from freezing to death versus having the EPA satisfied. And that's what really stinks about this situation with coal-fired plants is those people, you know, 20 years ago, the EPA set mandates for the Clear Water, Clear Air Act, and these coal factories that they've shut down over the last 6 years, They all met those numbers, those requirements. They met them, you know, and they were retrofitted and upgraded to meet those requirements. But what did they do when they started meeting them? The EPA realized, well, we must have not been stringent enough, because their whole purpose and intent was to close them all down. We have a president who has spoken out of his mouth in front of every American that watches Mr. Powerful Dictator, that very thing, that he would be happy to close every coal-fired plant in America. Well, you doofus, people will freeze to death, you know, and all because of a lie, the global warming lie. And now the global warming liars are confronted, you know, they know, well, we can't chase that. We've got to stop saying that. Let's just keep referring to it as climate change. Yeah, climate change is correct, folks. People are freezing to death in America because we've allowed these dummies to take off our sources of energy and not allow energy expansion and the creation of jobs and everything else. And the Republican doofuses, John Boehner, they're all in bed together. This is being done by both parties. It's not being done by one party or the other. This is both parties, you know.
You are so right, and that's the part that's sad. And then, of course, you get, well, we can't have a third party because a third party won't work. Well, everybody, where did Abraham Lincoln get elected out of? Third party, remember? He was not a prime candidate. He was a third party candidate. But the other thing, of course, is who's giving you that information? Who's telling you that story? Well, it's the Republicans and the Democrats. Why? Because they're nervous. They're only going to float a story like that when they can't handle it, when they know that it's true. So if they say a third party can't win, remember what we said? Think the opposite. That's what they're afraid of. And folks, this winter is only the beginning of a long, ugly future, because we are not prepared. And here we are, John, you know what, this is another one. They got all of this BP money, because we know we've been talking about that for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I find that in Florida, what are they doing with all this money? Are they improving the job market? No. Are they helping the small business owners? No. Are they making it easy for people who have been thrown out of their homes due to fraud and theft? No. What are they doing? Well, John, they're buying land. I'm so excited. Billions of dollars, and they're buying more land.
Well, do you know what they all know about that? And there's a reason for that, Karen. And it's not just Florida. It's happening all across the entire Gulf Coast. Louisiana is doing it. Texas is doing it. I'm sure Mississippi is too. But at any rate, there's good reasoning behind that. When we talk about the expansion in the energy sector, and when I look at our industry and the vast expansion that we're making through fracking of shale and everything that we're doing to improve the production numbers and to, you know, diminish our reliance on foreign oil, everything has been done on private property that they can't get their grubby hands on. So now when you look in Florida where they're buying up this land, and this is just a question to throw out there to every Floridian, look at that property and that land, because here's something that the people of Florida really need to be, you know, when we talk about natural gas production, and it is the wave of the future, it is the clean energy source that's readily available, would create thousands, millions, most likely, of jobs. But when we look at it, and, you know, we talk about, oh, Texas has got a lot of natural gas, Louisiana. The largest supply, according to the U.S. Geological Surveys of American maps and everywhere, you know, where there might be natural gas in the U.S. of A., the largest supply is in the state of Florida. Now, how many drilling jobs are taking place in the state? What's drilling? How is drilling expanded in the state of Florida? How many pipeline jobs do they have in the state of Florida going up to our poor brethren that are going to freeze in North Carolina and South Carolina and up the eastern seaboard, you know, in Georgia tonight. How many jobs have taken place in Florida to expand the wealth of Floridians? You know, they're not.
Well, John, I can give you an answer to that because in Florida, we don't go after our natural gas. We can look at it. We can say, oh, how nice. Isn't that nice that we would be able to do that? But we pipe in our natural gas from Texas. Can you believe how stupid that is?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, the and in 2009 when they redid the energy bill, our commissioner of agriculture went to the legislators. How do I know that? Because I was actually sitting in one of the legislators' office when he got the memo, and the memo said, it's not a good thing to just go after Florida's natural gas. We need to leave that where it is and concentrate on the corn products for ethanol. And so our energy policy was moved away from nuclear and natural gas into corn for ethanol. And it wasn't until last year that they actually lifted the mandate and removed some of the subsidies. But while they were doing that, they never said, let's go after all that natural gas that Florida would be able to make a windfall profit on.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't even in the equation. And now when I spoke to one of the legislators on the Energy Committee, and I said, do you know Florida has the largest natural gas reserve in the world? And his answer to me was, no, where did you hear that from? That's a lie.
Well, tell him he can shop it. He doesn't even have to make a phone call. He can just dial in on his computer and go to the U.S. Geological Survey, and they've got a great site, and it will give you the potential from every state in the union. Of oil production, natural gas production, all natural and coal production. If you've got a natural resource, those guys have mapped it because guess what? They know where it all is, Karen, and trust me, when they're buying up these lands, you need to look at what's the potential of the lands they're buying for natural gas production because they can run from it all they want, but if this is about profit for the politicians and the corporations. This is not about humanity. This is not about the American people having jobs or jobs creation. This is not about an efficient energy or cheap costing energy. It's not about any of that. It's not about the environment. It's about profit in dollars. And that's what I say when I tell you they're all alike, the Republicans, the Democrats. Trust me, the 100 top corporations in this nation that are contractors to the U.S. government, that doesn't change. The only thing that changes when the Democrats, you get the more liberal corporations, you know, the buddies, I guess Mr. Gates and those folks. And then when the Republicans are in office, that's when oil and natural gas and things will expand because that's their buddies and those envelopes change and take, you know, but that's what it is. It's all about profit and dollars. They're all greedy son of a guns.
I know, and the sad thing is as a result of that, innocent people get hurt. And that's the sad part. You know, when you're working with a group of people like us and we have done such extensive research and you can cut right through the chase and get right to the lie and pull it out and extract it and expose it and you know so much and then you go and you talk to the legislators who know so little, I think they make it a habit. If I'm going to be a legislator, I'm not going to learn about anything. I'm not going to understand anything because they certainly
plausible deniability.
Yes, exactly.
That's what they maintain. I mean, they're taught that, huh? They're actually taught that. I mean, it's not happenstance.
Yes.
They got staffers that are proficient at it and say, well, okay, Senator, if asked this question, here's your escape route, and it will offer you plausible deniability.
Right.
You'll say, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I'm on that committee.
But I'm going to look into that. I'm going to get someone on my staff to check that out for you.
Right. I'm going to get, yes, that's another one.
Well, when you find out the truth, what are you going to do?
Well, that's the other problem. If we find out the truth and we don't enact it, use it to our advantage, shame on us. And that's the real sad part, is that the people have been so misled and are so, as Sally was saying, so dumbed down. You can't even, I got a bill today that one of the legislators was writing, and it was filled with carbon emissions. We've been screaming what a fraud this is. Send out massive quantities of information, and it's like you're talking to a wall because the bill comes back filled up with, we should do this to reduce the carbon emissions. You want to scream. You want to scream.
Find out who's contributing to his campaign.
Well, I did a lot of digging, and it appears as though he is going to be leaving office, and my feeling is, although I haven't dug this far yet, but my feeling is he owns a lot of land, and he wrote a bill that will help him when he's no longer in office.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it appears to be. And that's what happens, folks, when you have people who don't really care, and their prime goal is not the country. Their prime goal is themselves. And then they are in school, and they never learn that their actions have consequences because they don't think the consequences affect them. That's really the problem. They think that they'll do this. They'll make it, as you said, we had a clean air bill from years ago, and now we're feeling the effects of it today because years ago, the people that passed it, they're not there.
No.
They don't care.
And one of the things we're caring when they talk about impact, you know what I mean, because I am so fed up with our powerful dictator and his commentary on, you know, I guess he adjusted Obamacare again and made another unconstitutional change to the law without any congressional need for approval because he is, after all, Barack Obama, the ruler of the free world. So at being the ruler of the free world, he's changed it again. And then when he's given a poignant question, straight to the point, you know, Mr. Obama, who is this going to, you know, have you thought about how this is going to impact the number? Well, it's such a small percentage of people. It's such a small percentage of people. It's a small percentage of businesses. It'll only be this business. Where is the equality? And, you know, it doesn't say in our Constitution that, oh, that small percentage over there, don't worry about them. Equality's not given to that small percentage of folks. We're going to leave them out of the equality game altogether. You know, that's not what we meant, that we would have equal rights, you know, that we were all created equally. That doesn't enter into this small percentage. Leave them aside. Who is he? And who are we that we allow that conversation to take place? Regardless of the percentage, it's impacting a fellow citizen. Now, there are things that we can debate and we can have. I mean, there was a time for debate of what we needed to do with health care, and these guys blew it, but they blew it because there was money to be made. And look at who profited. And now when that profit is at risk for the insurance companies, what are they doing? Well, let's give another exemption to that bunch of guys, because if we don't, we're going to bankrupt the insurance company. You know, the people that were the very people we were trying to assist and help and that were willing to come here and funnel money into our pockets, man, we're going to kill them. We can't do that. We got to save them now. And that's what all this is all about. But it's always in the conversation, well, that's such a small percentage of the American population, we're not going to worry about that. Well, I'm sorry, that's not equality.
We have to start taking that small percentage and actually equating it to people. That's because when you say 1%, 5%, it sounds like a small percent. But when you say 300 million people, 1% is 30,000 people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
Yep.
Actually, I'm sorry, it's more than that. It's 300.
Yes, it is. There you go.
300,000 people. That's a lot of people. And that's part of losing the conversation. That's
well, just
take,
part of the take you out
problem.
One good large city and just say, we're gonna actually, those poor people right there don't exist.
You know something? That would be a good idea. When when that happens, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start putting numbers on it.
Karen. The Congressional Budget Office did that for the clowns. They were doing it today, saying how it might be 7.9 to 7.2 million people affected. That's a lot of folks.
That is a lot of folks.
And then here's the deal. Today it might not be John and Karen. But what's to say that their next small percentage picks us up? And eventually it'll get to us all. They don't care. When you don't care about 7 million people that it's going to impact negatively, you know, oh, no, that was not supposed to be the legislation. You know, and how many people did originally, you know, Mr. Obama was going to take care of the uninsured. Man, he's put more people in a sorry predicament right now. And where is the outcry from this Congress and this Senate to stop this guy? I mean, he doesn't even care what they've got to say. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give an exemption. Where did you get the power? Where did you get that power? Who gave you that authority in the Constitution? I don't know. Some folks might be dumbed down, but I'm not. He doesn't have that kind of power. And the courts, it'll end up in the courts, but guess where Barack will be? Riding off into the sunset. By the time
having
there's anything
party.
That happens, he'll be gone. That's right.
He's going to be having a party because that seems to be what he's doing at the White House on a continual basis. He's partying. Isn't that exciting? He's having all of his celebrity buddies and all of his congressional buddies and all of his buddies. I can just imagine what the White House looks like.
Yeah.
With all of this partying going on. Every time you turn around, he's having another party. After all.
Well, he's got a big one tonight with the French socialists, so, I mean, I guess that's working out well.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, did you hear what Mayor de Blasio did today?
Nope.
From the Communist Republic of New York City?
No, what did he do?
He's going to give all of those undocumented workers an ID card. Now, he's giving the undocumented workers an ID card from New York, but people can't get an ID card to vote because that's discriminatory. Am I missing something? So is he discriminatory because he's giving the undocumented workers an ID card and not the other people, not the residents? Maybe that's discrimination.
Well, it is discrimination across the board, Karen. I mean, the entire conversation about these lawbreakers, these invaders, you know, is discriminatory. You're this nation, our government, ICE, who else is in charge of immigration? I mean, I guess it is just ICE, huh? But
yeah,
at any rate.
I think it should be DHS. They should be gone.
There you go. But at any rate, they are allowing the breaking of our law. And these citizens that have broken our law are being even to be considered to be giving them any right. Any right is discriminatory against you and I, people that live within the law. That have done things right all of our lives, and you know, we have eaten all of the crap that these guys can dish out when it comes to taxation, and they're overstepping the killing of our jobs, the trading of our jobs to other nations. We've gone through all of that, and we still, you know, we do the same thing day in and out. We get up, we work, and we hope to prosper, and we give educations to our children. We do all of the things that are American in the right way. And then our government views a person, a lawbreaker, as having more rights than us. It's discriminatory against us. So, I mean, are we the now become the minority that's being brutalized? I think so.
Yep. I agree. We have become the endangered species. I think that the American citizen has become the endangered species. Maybe we need to have an Endangered Species Act for Americans.
Yeah.
So that we would be able to have some, be able to preserve some of our little space for us to live in, for us to be able to eat, for us to be able to exist. And maybe they'll give us a little piece of property that they'll let us go on.
Well, Karen, that ain't going to work because all you got to do is go back and look at history and how well we treated the American Indians and then put yourself in that same position. You know, I get a lot of emails. I've got a daughter that trains quarter horses and quite the horse fanatic always has been. She loves horses. And she has never been a very politically active person, but she has become an active person in the last year, and it's over what's being done to the wild Mustangs and how they're being pushed out of their habitat that was set aside by Mr. Theodore Roosevelt, you know, and that's always those I guess I'm trying to think of the terminology for a large group of horses, the herds. Those
mm-hmm.
wild Mustang herds have been, that land's been dedicated and allocated to them for decades. And now when it becomes financially viable for the Koch brothers, did you ever hear their name before, Koch brothers?
No. Who are they?
I'm just another billionaire. Just they're the billionaires from the right, huh?
Yes.
I guess they're counterparts to Mr. Soros, but in my book they're equally as evil. But now you know that the Koch brothers want to use this property to graze large masses amounts of cattle for profit and business, and they want to pursue oil and gas exploration. Well, they're going to start murdering these horses and killing these horses, these wild Mustangs that were seen to be a treasure. So, I mean, if a horse doesn't hold any stock in this nation, where do you think a human holds stock? You know, I mean, they don't care, Karen. They've killed humans as easy as they'd do anything else.
We listen from one thing to the next, and the sad thing is, it's not sad. What we're saying is happening. It's true. And you can see it. Somebody just must have, hopefully was listening, and sent me an email, and they said that thousands of shoppers are fighting over food because the shelves are empty.
Yes, ma'am.
In Atlanta, they're frantic,
yeah.
And they're fighting over food. How many times did we say that? How many times have we been?
And that's it's striking home, huh? And I really feel bad because I know that we have spent the last few years imploring our fellow Americans. And if you're listening tonight, I implore you, regardless of where you live in this country, prepare yourself. Emergency generator for electricity, fuel, but food, for the love of God. Get yourself some type of food supply and go far and beyond what FEMA or anybody recommends. Get yourself and your family a supply of food and, you know, your shelter, electricity. We're accustomed to it because we're on the coast and we've dealt with hurricanes. But trust me, they say this winter storm that's coming through up there, they're going to have a couple of weeks possibly without power in the dead of winter and freezing temperatures. Not good. And we've seen this happen, and it wasn't reported by our media, imagine that, who have bought into the global warming lie. They didn't report the amount of deaths that took place in Europe last year and the year before during the winter. But now when it happens here in America, watch the outcry by these liberals, the very people that have allowed this to happen through their ETA and their global warming lie.
Well, now the experts are predicting that the Great Lakes could freeze. And that's exactly what you and I were talking about. If you go back and you look at history and you look at 100 years ago and you look at 200 years ago and you look at some of the pictures of some of the things that happened in the winters, you see people walking. We had a picture of people walking across the Hudson River. I remember that was in my grandmother's living room. There's a big picture there, and I always used to stare at, where is this, Grandma? And she would say, well, that was on the Hudson River that we lived near Hoboken. And she said, you know, that was on the Hudson. My grandfather was a trainman on the Erie Lackawanna, so Hoboken was the big hub, and we used to have to go across the ferry in order to get there if we didn't go through the tunnel. And there was a picture of the ferry station with the ferry stuck in ice by the Hudson River.
Yeah. Well, so, how do you think our friend John Casey feels?
He feels saddened that people didn't listen and are not listening. Because when you have all this knowledge and you know it's the truth and you're telling people this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and you get ignored because of political reasons and money, and you're a scientist not doing this for political reasons and money, but doing this because it's the truth, that's the big issue with him, because, you know, he said that we should be storing at least food for at least a year.
Yeah.
He's concerned, and it's actually, I think I'll give John a call and ask him to come on the show with us so we can talk about what is going to happen next and what will happen further and further. So we get a clear picture, because I believe, as you believe, you know, this is the reality, and being prepared is where we need to be. Yep. So the ability to prepare yourself, might as well have on people that can help. And John was a great case of that. But you're right, John. I just put on the computer, and everything that they're saying on every website is that this is going to be the biggest storm of the season. I hate to tell them it's not. I mean, that's the sad part. It's going to be one of the biggest storms of the season. And this is a very, 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 very serious thing. So if you have friends up north and they haven't gotten food, then they are pretty dumb by now. Pretty dumb. So it's a staggering amount. This is the first time, though, I believe we even had, there was snow in Florida last week, 2 weeks ago.
We get it in Louisiana. I mean, and it's about a 10-year cycle we'll go without any, but I mean, to see it a couple times in a season. For where I'm at, I'm only 20 miles from the coast, huh? So for us to have snow and ice is, I guess I'm prepared, Karen, so I relaxed about it, but I am now, you know, I just pity, and it's what will happen in the spring, you know, how late will spring be, and what will happen to next year's crop, and we know all of the things that the government has done that will absolutely hinder. You know, we should have been driving agriculture to further south. You know, you've got to expand the Corn Belt to the south. And that's actions that if people would have listened to guys like John Casey, you know, that's some steps and things we could have done in preparation. But when you've got people that are like Al Gore, George Soros, the United Nations, this president, and his administration that are perpetrating a lie on the American people, and trust me, they will run from their accountability. No, not a single one of those people will be held accountable to that what happened But we know that this is just maybe the, you know, where are we at in John's cycle? You know, because John says this is going to be possibly a decade of this.
Actually, what he was saying is that this is going to be the pattern for about the next 40 to 60 years. The scientists in Russia that I read said that, well, they were even stronger than John. John predicted a mini ice age. They are predicting a full-blown ice age. And their fear is the same as John's, which would be if the Earth cools enough and there is enough activity below the surface, because the plates expand and contract and the magma flows differently when that happens. You know, when things get cold, they contract, so even a fraction of space can create movement, which would then create earthquakes, and their fear is a big volcano. And the one that John is very concerned about is in the southern hemisphere in the Ring of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's either between Chile or Indonesia. And should that explode, he feels, well, I said, okay, I pressed him and I said, what would happen? And he said, we could be looking at the end of mankind, because if the sun was blocked for 100 years, 50 years, well, what do you do? And that's what that is what they are very concerned about. So mm-hmm. here we are in Florida using our BP money to buy dirt when we should be figuring out every conceivable way to grow food.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you just said. One man's tragedy, yes, it's very, very tragic, but it becomes another person's opportunity. And the opportunity to grow food in Florida and to be, and Louisiana, the southern states, the pressure on the southern states is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Because you're right, the growing season will shorten. You know, what John was explaining the last time he was on, he said, you know, it could get warm in May, and then we could have a frost in June, and that could wipe out all the plants. So this is the fact that we are paying these idiots to sit in Congress and not one of them can figure this out, and on an agricultural and natural resource committee is pathetic.
Yeah.
It's absolutely pathetic. And that those are the people that are there, and to me they are pathetic. I think that's going to be my new word for them. They are absolutely pathetic. And this is going on in Georgia. So Georgia is one state up from Florida, for those of you that don't remember. And I believe Atlanta is about 350 miles from the border of Florida. So this storm is about 400 miles away, 350, 400 miles away. We're going to get a lot of rain, which is okay. But Florida could have been a sanctuary for the people in Georgia who need help. And what are we doing? We're buying dirt. We're buying dirt.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's a very, very sad commentary.
Well, and I guess to me, Karen, it's the reason they're buying dirt. The reason they're buying the dirt and purchasing the land is for their greed and control. You know, they want power. They don't, because a private citizen could lease it to John to grow a crop. A private citizen could lease it to John to explore for natural gas. But the state will never do that. You know, they've got their own designs, and that's the deal. It's about power and control over everything, and that could assist a human. Huh? They want us out. They don't want private citizens to have any advantage or control over the destiny. You know, like if we're smart enough to say, let me tell you something, Mr. Governor, you're wrong. You blew it, and I'm leasing to John because he's going to put in a field of corn for me. You won't have that availability.
No. No.
There'd be too many waves of bureaucracy to even get through to be able to plan anything.
Well, part of the problem, I believe, I'm going to go and look up the website, and hopefully, can you send me the link, because that would be great. I want to share it. But the other problem I noticed is the water. And it seems to me that their focus is on controlling the water. And what we have discovered is that our water management district, and I've been asking this question now for the last 2 weeks, I ask it to everybody that's in any status of any form of government, and I ask them, where does it give the right for the water management district to come on somebody's private property and put a meter on their well?
Wow, they're doing that?
Nobody, and they are doing that.
Really?
I spoke to three farmers so far in northern Florida, and they told me that one man said that first he had an easement, or so he thought he had an easement, and on his property they have a retention pond, this is water management, that they refuse to dredge and clear out. So every time it rains, his farm floods, because he's downstream from that. But then he said, to add insult to injury, I have to go and pay for my water. What are you talking about? He said, yeah, I have to pay a permit, and I have to give an estimate of how much water I'm using. And if I don't do that, they won't give me the permit. So they're charging this. I said, wait a minute. Is that water on your land or is it on the easement? And he said, no, it's on my land. I use it for irrigation for my farm. Well, he went and did a little digging, and apparently water management lied to him, and they don't even have an easement. So that's one issue. Then I go down the block a little bit further, and I'm talking to another man who happens to be a farmer. And I said, anything unusual with water management? And he says, yes, I'm fixing to sue him. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I went out to get some stuff. I come back, and there's a meter on my well. There's a meter.
Wow.
I said, a meter on your well that you're using for your house? No. A meter on your well that you're using for your irrigation, for your crops? Yes. And he said, I was paying them $200 a year for the privilege of pumping my own water. He said, now it's going through a meter. And he said, that is bad enough if they had lived up to what they said they were going to live up to, which was to improve the flow of water and the taste and make sure it hit all of these wonderful requirements. He said, well, the flow of water hasn't changed, and the taste of the water hasn't changed, and the quality of the water hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is that now I'm paying to pump my own water.
Oof.
So that's what's coming next. And that's something that we all have to be aware of. If you give these guys an inch, they will take the whole body. They're not even going to take the arm. They want the whole body. They have not stopped. It's all or nothing with them. And as we know, we've talked about this numerous times, he who controls the energy and the water controls the food, and he who controls the food controls the people.
That's it.
So what is this really all about? This is about control. This is about control of the people, and they're going to be doing it through our food very, very, very shortly. And just as we said, you watch, we're going to go through a winter of storms. There's going to be, I can see it coming, the handwriting is on the wall. It says food shortage equals rioting equals martial law.
Yeah.
The stage has been set.
Yeah. And you know, they've kind of located stuff over on that in I guess, what is that sector, FEMA's region. And we
region
started
three.
Yeah, we started to watch the shift in the allocation of supplies and everything that was going into to Region 3, and golly, maybe they're carrying out their mission, huh?
I have a feeling that the weather is going to make it easier for them to do it, but I think that's where it's going. I really believe that that's where it's going. It's just the signs are there. The signs are, it's just there. It just seems to be there. Here, what did they do today? What's her face? Yellen. She became the new chairman, so the stock market took off because she's going to continue quantitative easing.
Yeah.
Zimbabwe, here we come.
There you go.
How many barrels of money is it going to take? I guess that'll be the new joke. How many barrels of money does it take to buy a loaf of bread? Because that's where we're headed. This is very, very sad, but that's where we're headed. Very interestingly, though, and very surprising, I read an article that Maryland has a bill to stop giving power and water to the NSA structure so that they will leave the state.
Wow. Hey, it's time for our hourly break there, Miss Cameron.
Well, thank you, John. And, folks, you're listening to American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on blogtalkradio.com, American Statesman, and that is from 8 to 10 on Tuesday, and on Red State Talk Radio at Wednesday in the afternoon at 12, Sunday in the evening at 12. And please visit our website, Agenda 21 Today, Panhandle Patriot, .com, AmericaIsMyName.org, SaveAmericaFoundation.com, KarenShone.com, and VoteKarenShone.com. Oh, John, I wanted to tell you something exciting that we are putting together, and all of the folks can join us. We're putting together a coalition of patriots, Americans. And what we have decided to do is every Monday, we call it Message Monday. And people can go to the Bear Witness website, which is bccentral.org, bccentral.org. And in the right-hand corner, it says Message Monday and the message. And every week, we're asking everybody that we know to go and look at the message, and when you send out an email or a tweet or a LinkedIn or whatever, or you make a comment or you send something to the newspaper or wherever you're doing it, say the same message. And the reason why we're asking everybody to do that is because we will be showing our legislators that we talk to each other, that we're connected, that this is not just a little tea party in Florida and a little tea party in Louisiana. These are people. We know what you're doing, and now we're talking to each other. So the message for this week is called No Amnesty, and we're going to use the hashtag Your Oath Matters. So every week we'll have a new message. This week is No Amnesty, hashtag Your Oath Matters. And then on yesterday's conference call, we decided that next week's message is going to be Audit the IRS. So we're going to make little simple ones, and we're going to ask everybody to please get involved, get engaged, do something, but show our elected officials that we talk to each other, that we are not isolated individuals, and that this election in 2014 is going to matter because their oath matters.
Excellent. That's a wonderful idea.
Well, please ask everyone to join us.
Sure.
And if anybody has a good idea about a message, short and sweet, let us know, and we will put it up as well because we're going to need a whole bunch of messages. But the good news was the immigration got squashed, just like what Sally said with the eminent domain. Immigration got squashed because the people got engaged. So we should be learning from that. Every individual matters, every individual counts, and every individual has the ability in America to participate. And that's real important. Yes.
And speaking of learning, we have a guest.
Well, is that Miss Charlotte?
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry, Karen. I didn't know I was meant to call in.
Oh, my goodness. I thought I sent you. Okay. Well, that's okay, Charlotte. You're here.
Well, you
Charlotte,
probably
say hello
did.
To John. We're excited.
I'm really sorry. You probably did, but I was on another interview, but I until 7:30, and then I.
Charlotte, it doesn't matter. You made it, and we're excited
yeah,
to have you
great
here.
To have you.
And folks, we are very blessed. This is Charlotte Iserby, and Charlotte is, to me, one of the most knowledgeable people on what's going on in our country, because it's all driven by lousy education. And Charlotte, I'm so happy to have you with us tonight. It's a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Karen. And I really was very impressed. I just received that incredible bit of information in regard to regionalism and UN Agenda 21 from Christina Mikas that you all down there in Florida put together. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes, yes. We're doing a series of articles. Thank you so much. And what we're trying to do is break things down into understandable things so that people will be able to get what this is really all about, which is the elimination of our government. And we
front
of us.
I sent you an email about it, I think. I remember back in the early 70s where Dade County, Florida was the first experiment. And I started fighting regionalism in the early 70s. And what's very interesting here, I'm not on to education right now.
That's
although
okay. It's all
we've
part
had,
of the
education
same thing.
Has been consolidated as well. You know, everything has to be consolidated to get rid of the elected officials. And I remember in the early 70s, I was at an American Conservative Union conference, and I was fighting regionalism like mad. But if I had that article by the Communist, in the Communist Daily World, where it was admitted that regionalism is communism, and I was at this American Conservative Union conference, and I asked the editor of National Review, William Rusher. This is to point out to people that we've been led down the garden path by the conservatives. I asked him, I said, hey, Bill, how come the major conservative journals and organizations never deal with regionalism? And you know what he said to me?
What?
Huh. He said, well, Charlotte, I guess they just don't think it's very important.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
In other words, who cares about communism?
Right.
Yeah.
You know something, Charlotte? You just, the other night, I was on a phone conference with Tea Party Patriots, and the fellow was reporting, giving the legislative update. And Cindy Lucas said, I don't understand why you're not talking about the things that are important, like all of these land grabs that are going on.
Yeah.
And he, like, fluffed it off. So fortunately, they picked on me next to make the next statement. And I said, following along with what Cindy said, this is a result of regionalism and regional councils.
Right.
And here's the legislative guy from the legislative update, and he said, what's that? I almost fell off my chair.
Well, yeah, but you see, what I just said is so important.
Yep.
I just have to come right out, and you know how I feel about it, Karen. I think,
yes.
You know, we no longer have any real Goldwater, I call them conservatives. It was really difficult for me to use the word Trotskyite, you know, a couple of years ago. I finally got used to it, and I use it now. That's what they are. These people came from out of the Democratic Party in the early 80s, and they are not conservatives. And I saw it in my office, see, in the Department of Education, the whole agenda that's going in right now, well, it's all connected with UN Agenda 21, of course, out of UNESCO, OECD, but that whole agenda was my office. Can you imagine what it would be like to leave your little school board job in your state and go into an office like that, and here you're all gung-ho for President Reagan, and, oh, we're going to pull down the Department of Education, and then I end up in this office where, no, they don't have any intention of doing that. They've got their own agenda, school choice, the Skinner method, school to work, public-private partnerships, nation at risk. And there I'm sitting there, all this technology. The whole thing was the Reagan administration's agenda, which I have to give, we'll give credit to the Heritage Foundation. They drafted it. They drafted that agenda. And the Heritage Foundation also drafted the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Yeah.
So why are people following the Heritage Foundation in every single state to their death?
Well, they're getting on the train and they're being led, and because of you, Charlotte, the last time I got a survey from the Heritage Foundation, and of course their little envelope for money, I wrote in there and I said, could you please explain to me how the organization that brought us NAFTAGAT and Obamacare is conservative? If you can explain that to me, then I'll consider giving you money.
Well, don't wait for an answer. Don't hold your breath.
That's what I figured. That was a safe bet.
Well, it's very serious.
Yes.
What we're looking at. I haven't got it figured out. They've done an extremely good job by getting into every single state. They've been working at it for 40 years now. And they're Fabian socialists. That's what they are, Heritage. And
yes,
then you've got Brookings as well. They come from the left, the far left, right? Brookings and Heritage, it's like a dance they've got going to destroy our whole governing system of governance. And the American people, they're so sad. They're so dumbed down. You see, I forget that all the people that really understood what our country was all about, a lot of them are, I should be dead by now probably. I'm getting on. But I seem to assume, I was thinking about it today, I assume that the American people understand that we have the finest form of government and economic system that the world has ever known. I assume that they know that. But no, they don't.
They don't.
And that's the answer. That
yes.
is why we can't get through to these pathetic people with their glazed expressions and saying, what are you doing giving up the greatest system of government, economic and political system the world has ever known? What are you doing? What are we doing? You know, it's sort of like, someone offers you a chocolate sundae made with the finest Belgian chocolate and whipped cream and nuts and everything, and then the other guy offers you some poison. And you say, oh, no, I want the poison.
Yep. Well, you know what I think? I think when they started with the immigration and it was very carefully done, when they started with the immigration, you get the immigrants coming here. We no longer were a melting pot.
Right.
Multiculturalism. Keep your own. Well, anybody from a third world country that comes to America and looks at American socialism, they think it's wonderful. And if they're not taught in school, they think it's terrific.
Yep. I'm afraid it's taken a huge toll, but I don't see that it's taken – I mean, it's taken a huge toll, but when you think in terms of the size of this country, you know, compared to Europe, where they've got enormous problems, much worse than ours because of the immigration, right? Europe's really in terrible shape. I don't know, but that was stupid Europeans. I was there when they were, you know, in the early 60s when they were all this was going on with the common market and never could understand. I mean, yes, I could because they had a good socialist in Belgium, you know, who was the prime minister. But now, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost, and I have a lot of friends in Europe and relatives, and they don't even want to talk to me, you know. I mean, my husband's gone now, so the one person who used to beat up on them, he dared, huh? He would beat up on them, like when they voted for Maastricht. I mean, how stupid can you be, you know, to vote for that wretched treaty? And these are conservatives who voted for it.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's forget Europe for a while. But I think, you know, they're gone. I don't think we are yet. I mean, sure, we have the immigration, and a lot of very good people have come in, but not they ought to be coming in legally, right? I mean, our country was made built on immigrants, right? But they have had no requirements whatsoever. In fact, I think I saw something a few years ago that was so shocking that I didn't even bother to check it because I thought it had to be, you know, false. There was something like in the papers that they have to sign when they're coming in here, something like, do you approve of world government?
What?
Yeah. I'm meant to be a good researcher. Well, I let that one slide because to me it was just so unbelievable that I did read this. That this is what they're asked.
Wow.
I mean, my husband had to come in and go through all the, you know, the hoops and bells and whistles, everything, and which is correct. I don't know.
Well,
I don't think, of course, you're in Florida, which is totally different from me in Maine, so you have enormous problems with this. We're under attack from every angle. But the thing is that I keep talking about this is war. We're at war now. I mean, if people, I think we're at war because we have a wonderful form of government that's been taken away from us. So I consider that we're at war. There's an enemy out there. So we're at war. If you don't think it's a wonderful form of government or whatever, then we're not at war. But if we're at war, we need ammunition. And so many of our people just don't want the ammunition. You have to have the research. You have to have the history to go out and fight these people. I mean, I think that as far as education is concerned, I can't imagine a judge, a good judge and a jury. I mean, if you took what happened to the American greatest education system in the world, pre-1965, and went into court with all the documents that we have, the deliberate destruction of not only our children but the teachers as well, and all the programs and the federal money going into it all, there isn't a judge in the world, a fair judge, would look at you and say, hands down, guilty. Guilty. These people are guilty. There's no question. Don't bother me. Don't waste my time. We should have some sort of I'm not going to say that because every time you get into something like wanting to have a lawsuit, it's going to cost you millions of dollars. And our people don't have that kind of money. And we can't get it from anybody. I mean, down there in Florida, you've got multi-billionaires out there.
Oh, yeah.
I wish one was listening who'd give you some money.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right.
Don't you have multi? We don't have. Oh yes, we do. We have them on the islands here. We're very wealthy, Maine. Believe it or not, everybody who poor people working in these low paying jobs and all, they're not wealthy. We've got all these multi billionaires and trillionaires on the islands, like the Rockefellers and Kissinger and all the big families, huh? They gave us the Federal Reserve. We've got a lot of money here, but off on the islands, you can imagine them giving us any money. You've got money down there, too.
We do, but the problem is they're all the corporatists, they walk around with the R on their back, and then they put in place, like our wonderful governor just did by executive orders,
more regionalism and more public-private partnerships than we have Jeb Bush, who never left the state, who's running around with school choice. And so we have, you're right, we have all of that money, but it's not going to come to us. They're going to take that money and use it.
Oh, yeah, to make more money. To make more money. I mean, I saw that the thing that was sent through, you know, Henry Kissinger involved. Well, you know, I love to tell the American people that he was a Soviet agent, right? I mean, he is.
Yeah.
He's a commie. Soviet agent.
Yep.
I've known that. I did that research from way back. I was in touch with the Russian who was, claimed to be the son of the Tsar. I know that whole story about Kissinger. Hmm? People can go. I mean, I hope your listeners are listening. Go on the Internet. Actually, I think my son put it on his website, too. But it's hard to
tell. Oh, wait a minute, Charlotte. Tell everybody your website, please.
Oh, well, mine is deliberatedumbingdown.com. Deliberatedumbingdown.com. Okay. And my son's website is americandeception.com. And I believe that he has that book. It's called Kissinger, Soviet Agent, by Frank Capel, who was a great researcher. He was actually, I think, one time FBI. And that tells you the whole story of Henry Kissinger. Yeah, and I was in touch with the gentleman who claimed to be the son of the Tsar, one of them that got out, and a very interesting story, that one in itself, where he was given a medal by the U.S. Congress for being responsible for tracking down leading Soviet agents in Europe, like Blake and the rest of them. He was very important in that, this individual that claims to be the son of the Tsar, that I knew. He's dead now. But that was very interesting because when it came to the Congress gave him a medal for all that work he'd done. But when he mentioned Henry Kissinger, oh, no way, you know, he was shut down. That's that book is great. It's called Kissinger, Soviet Agent by Frank Capel. Try to get it if you can. Maybe it's been republished at Amazon or wherever. And if you can't, I do believe that it is at my son's website. And so you got him trotting around, all involved. I didn't read it that carefully, but I saw it, in the land grab. In Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw that in the email that Christina Micah sent me.
Yep.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good for you.
They're all here. We're so lucky. We're so blessed. They're all here. Ted Turner, I believe, owns almost three-quarters of one county.
Isn't that disgusting?
Yes. I think his holdings are in Madison County. And I believe he was the one that helped shut down the logging industry in Madison County.
Do your people in Florida understand the history of regionalism?
No, that's why I wrote that article.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand why it's bad.
Huh?
They don't understand why it's bad.
I know. They don't understand that they're losing their elected form of government. I guess Americans really don't care about that anymore, right?
Well, they don't know it, Charlotte.
I
think that's one of the accomplishments by dumbing down the American children, our teachers, by dumbing down the school system, is that they've accomplished a huge part of their mission. They've got... There's so many Americans that don't even care. And then when you tell them, okay, here's how this works and here's what's going to happen, they there's nothing we can do about that. It's already been decided. It's already been done.
Right. Well, they
and, you know, the thing that Charlotte, that you said that probably had, you know, somewhere, there are Americans that should have the wherewithal. These actions are provable. You have documentation that is just fascinating. but it's factual. It's truth. And if we know, and there's so much proof to exactly what's being done to destroy and has taken our free republic from us, and we haven't done anything to even walk into a court to attempt to get a court decision. And
well,
that's one thing that's available. Why can't the Supreme Court hear the case against the people that? But it's you have to say, well, who's responsible? And it's such a wide sweeping dark cabal.
Well, it's the tax exempt foundations basically, and that was they had those great hearings that were shut down by Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. He was a Republican. Huh? He didn't want them. And the Democrats, they shut down which is at my son's website, Reese Committee, 3,000 pages of that study. It's at AmericanDeception.com. I paid for that. And I only paid $3,000 for it, but the fellow I bought it from is a good friend, a great, great patriot. And he had had it for years. He was close to Norman Dodd. And he was offered by the minions, one of the minions of the foundations, any amount of money for that one copy. You know, that's something right there that Americans should take a look at. But, even your listeners, and even I, even if somebody said to me that I had to go out and look at a 3,000-page document and the baby's screaming and somebody's the mother-in-law is dying of a heart attack and you can't pay your taxes, and your son just lost his job, who's going to want to read 3,000 pages of the history of the design to merge the United States with the Soviet Union?
Yeah.
Who's going to want to read that? Although a lot of people do. My son has told me it's had thousands of hits. But there it is. Free download. They can go and read and look and find out who all these traitors were, including Alger Hiss and all this. Very interesting, this mental health screening thing.
That you sent out today.
Yes, that's terribly important. And
frightening.
Dennis Cuddy has done so much wonderful work on that. But the important thing to remember, folks, when you see that mental health screening thing, is that they don't mean mental health like, you've got a husband or a mother-in-law who's got depression. That's not what they're talking about.
No.
Mental health, and I've got the quote somewhere from the people who have been involved in this since the 40s, Alger Hiss and Brock Chisholm, the psychiatrist, and we got all that other stuff that's in the new updated version of our book, Deliver It, Dummy Down, right, where they started the mental health agenda in the 40s, and it was guess who funded by? The Carnegie Corporation.
Carnegie funded it.
The Scottish Rite Masons, and a woman who rented our house on Long Island.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. When I saw that is in the updated, abridged version of the Deliberate Dumbing Down, which has the update, from year 2000 to 2011. We put that in there. So it's the tax-exempt foundations and the UN, HISS, COMI, and the psychiatrist. Now, that is very important because I think it was Beria, who was the head of secret police in the Soviet Union, and he gave a speech to American students back in the 30s, and he said that's how they would get us, through mental health. So this is very, very important that we get on board with this thing and stop it. Because when they talk about, they're going to use Newtown, Connecticut, and Columbine, and all these horrible incidents as an excuse to check our children's mental health, they're not talking about what you're thinking about.
No.
Mental health to them is, and I know there's somewhere I've got a quote, it means you're crazy if you don't believe in world government.
Yeah.
Got it? Yep. And so they have to, like with the assessment, Anita talks about it all the time, with the assessment, and given all this information from the assessment that the kids take, which is 60% attitudinal anyway, but all that information is being given. This is mental health, huh? That's what we're talking about. This is Marxism. Marxism,
yes,
is mental health. And they're giving this the most personal answers on the assessment to the corporations free so that they can design remedial curriculum for your child, individual. Your child maybe believes in God or believes in the Constitution or one thing or another. Uh-oh, he's sick. He's mentally sick. So he has to be remediated. Now, don't forget what I'm saying here, folks. The assessment is an assessment of your child's values, attitudes, values, and beliefs in regard to capitalism, communism, Christianity, Judaism, whatever. That's what the assessment's all about. It has nothing to do with reading, writing, and math. It's Marxism. And they're going to find out where your child is, and your child may, you know, may take quite a while because your mom and dad at home, you know, you're filling his little head up with all this American stuff. Hmm? So it's going to take longer with some students to bring them to the proper attitude. This is New York State is the first one to indicate that it is going to do this mental health screening. And Daria said it to the students. They would take America through mental health. And he recommended setting up all these mental health clinics all over the United States.
Yeah.
Huh?
Re-education camps.
Yes. And so this is serious business. We didn't need another issue at this point. I really, you know, somehow I cannot believe I'm as old as I am. I am old, you know.
Oh, Charlotte, you're wonderful. Age is just a number.
What?
That's it.
All right, yeah. Ooh. But please, folks, when this comes up, I mean, don't wait until it comes up in Florida. Follow New York, what's happening there.
Yes.
Follow what Anita Hulk is trying to do, getting people to contact their elected officials in regard to what Obama did, gutting the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act. He gutted that. We had protection. We had protection under that. That meant that all this information, private information about your child and you, your attitudes, values, and beliefs and everything, it could not be given out except in very exceptional instances, right? And Obama gutted it. So now anything can go out, anything that your child says or on the assessment, or writes into the computer. They're keeping that. They're sending it to the corporations so the corporations can remediate your child, your child's attitudes, values, and beliefs. Now, if that isn't frightening, I wish somebody would call in and tell me that's not frightening.
No, it's frightening.
Well, it's
it
scary.
It's very, very frightening. And then to make matters worse, or to include that, when the minute they eliminate all the books, that's the end of the story, because that's how they get and extract all of this information. And you can see it on the assessment. If you answer one way, then your next set of questions will be guided so that you'll answer a different way. And until you answer the way that they want you to answer, you don't go on to the next task.
That's right. That's exactly it. I can't believe it. You know, you'd have to be a pretty hardcore commie not to get upset about this. I mean, I can't imagine. I should think there'd be a lot of liberals out there, too, who would not like this. I mean, there are going to be some people who are smart enough to say, you know what, if the commies can do this to us, the conservatives could do it, too. And I don't agree with that either. That's sort of like, you know, the Christian education, educators, you know. They'll all tell me, there's nothing wrong with using Skinner on the computer as long as you teach the Ten Commandments. And I say, really?
Oh, really?
I don't care, you know. Look, I don't care. That's the other thing about charter schools. I don't like the Gulen schools, but I don't like Waldorf schools either. And I don't like a lot of Christian schools that are using Skinner. So let's get off of the attack of certain kinds of charter schools. The problem with charter schools isn't what they teach. It's why they're being used and they have no elected boards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, if they have no elected boards, you're not going to be able, parent, to even go in there and say, I don't want Gulen taught. Or whatever you call it, Islam, huh? Or somebody who's an atheist can't go in and say, I don't want this Christian curriculum. You have no say, period. That bothers me more than the curriculum. Taking our elected boards away is so serious. Oh, boy.
That's been the issue that we have to fight. That's why.
That's the issue.
That is the issue.
Yeah,
that's the issue.
Because no matter if we have, they give us our guns, we don't have any more abortion, everything just goes beautifully for the so-called, in quotes, conservatives, right? Then all of a sudden, we through charter schools, it's the second largest budgetary thing in the United States is education, right?
Right.
Once the schools don't have elected boards, Americans say, why do we need elected boards? I mean, the school, education is the second largest item in the budget. We don't need town, why do we have to vote for town clerk, huh? Oh, yeah. So we give up the right to vote, and then what happens? Then you have ConCon, and we got all the conservatives, Michael Ferris, and all the conservatives pushing ConCon, right? Well, you get ConCon, we lose the Constitution, and then we don't have any protections. Bill of Rights is gone. No voting. Huh? So what's going to happen to your abortion? No abortion plank. You think you're going to keep your guns?
Oh, yeah, right.
You can't. You won't have anywhere to go. You won't be able to complain. How about it, folks? Don't you like complaining once in a while? You won't be allowed to because you're going to be living in a Soviet system with unelected boards, and that's the Soviet system. Look up council in the dictionary. Look up council. And you know what you're going to find? Oh, no, sorry. Look up Soviet.
Soviet.
And you're going to find unelected council.
Mm-hmm.
At least old dictionaries will tell you that. So that's regionalism, unelected council form of government. That's a Soviet form of government. And Gorbachev said it in 2001 in London.
Right.
You know, he called the North American Union the new European Soviet.
That's right.
So what does that make? The European Union, he called it the new European Soviet. So what's the North American Union? I'm not going to tell your listeners. What do you think
that is?
No, they
got to figure
The Union of Soviet America.
How smart do you have to, how dumb do you have to be not to understand that the North American Union is modeled on the European Union? And so if Gorbachev, if people know who he is, maybe they think it's a laxative or something, I don't know. Gorbachev, you know, says that the European Union is a new European Soviet. What does that make the North American Union, folks? Do you like that? Do you want to live under a North American Soviet system? Why don't you start reading Solzhenitsyn and some of the history of what went on in the Soviet Union?
That's the problem. That's the problem because they're too busy worrying about the Kardashians and who's singing on Voices or whatever other program they watch.
Exactly.
And they can't wrap their head around, it's too hard to think about that. Oh, you know, go to a meeting. Oh, you want me to go to a meeting?
Yes,
oh, and speak in a meeting? I can't talk.
Yes. No, it's this is a major problem, and I guess they know they've been so highly successful with gradualism. You know, I was called, you know, my seven-pronged fork was very, very effective, and just totally diabolical, truly, that any person, I don't think it was any particular individual, I think that's totally satanic, that plan, you know, to use the seven prongs, you know, the gradualism and the semantic deception and the dialectic, the horrible dialectic create the problem, people scream, you can get anything you want that way, right? Controlled media, the Federal Reserve, the education system, and having both parties the same at the top. Now, that's brilliant.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
That is, by the way, for your listeners, that is on the Internet. Go look at it and run it out. It's called The Devil's Seven-Prong Fork. I think it has eight prongs now, but I wrote that about 8 years ago, and I don't even think I wrote it. I'll never know where it came from. I got tired of doing interviews like this, you know, where you just keep trying to get through the American people's heads what they're losing. If they want to live under this, the adults, they deserve it. But their children don't.
That's right.
That's a big message right there. Yeah.
That's the sad part.
And this is so awful that the American people don't give a you know what.
Yeah.
They just don't care. And they will, I didn't want to think about it, but the devil's seven-pronged fork, so I was beaten up like I'm doing right now. And I got off the phone and I thought, oh, I feel so sorry for those people. I beat up on them all the time. And all of a sudden, something came into my head and it was sort of like, Charlotte, it's not their fault. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know. I don't think I agree with that. It's sort of like, it's not their fault. Don't let them off the hook this easy, you know. But then I started to put this thing together, the things I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw it, and I thought, we have been victimized.
Yes.
This is a satanic plan. And actually, when you think of gradualism, couldn't do it without it, right? I mean,
right.
Go all the way back, you know, to Carnegie in 1934 with this little blue book, Conclusions and Recommendations for the Social Studies, calling for using the schools to change America to a planned economy, to chuck our fantastic capitalist system, huh? Chuck it and take our land, huh? So, okay, we go back that far. We brought back further, even to the late 1800s, with the industrialists deciding we've got to have both parties the same at the top. But Carnegie's plan, yeah, they did it. And they constructed, they used outcomes-based education from 1931 to 39, I guess. 8-year study. That was outcomes-based education. And folks don't know what that is. That's
no.
What that is performance, results, outcomes. They, in quotes, the multi-billionaires and the corporations and the government in bed together, they want to use your children to spin off profits in the global economy. That's outcomes. And in order to do that, Carnegie Corporation experimented with an 8-year study which the Education Commission of the States in the mid-80s admitted. I have a newsletter from them. They said OBE was first experimented with in the 30s by Carnegie, 8-year study, right? So that was the workforce training that was being set up
right
back then. And that absolutely took away the academic system that we had had up until then. Yes, it's highly successful. Where the teacher, I'll tell you this because you're a teacher, but it was input. You know, great literature that the children were given, the teacher would give them input. This is for the child to take this information and to develop in his own mind and soul and everything else, and make something of himself due to the input.
Yeah.
Now it's output. They don't. The human resources. They, our children have been referred to. We are too, right?
Human
resources.
Human capital.
Yeah,
we're human
capital.
Capital.
And that's it. And it is a lifelong plan, womb to tomb. Ultimately, and you see it happening right now because the charter schools. And if you read, go back and read some of the under George Bush Senior, back with the New American School Development Corporation, it's admitted there. I've got a good quote. I sent it out today. It's admitted in there in a statement he made that. We will change. The system will change. Governance will change.
Yeah.
The time of education will change. That's right. You know, every
That's
child
right.
will have an individual education plan.
Mm-hmm.
And right now with the Reinventing School Coalition, which is the model worldwide, RISC program, Robert Marzano, et cetera, there's no competition. They
no.
can graduate at 14 or 21. It's total quality management. The school in Alaska that they refer to got the Malcolm Baldrige Award. Hello, folks. Isn't that usually given to companies like Cadillac?
Well, let me ask you, how do we, Charlotte, because, you know, it's like you always overwhelm me with your knowledge, and it's so great to listen. How do we as Americans, I mean, surely there has to be a mechanism, something that we can do, because they don't hide. They haven't hidden anything of their plan.
No.
They reveal it to us
right.
with great openness, because they view us as powerless.
Right.
And they think that they have, and that's my comment all the time, and I say it with great passion. I think they've missed their mark because they've left a few of us old folks here that are not going to tolerate it and we're going to reveal it. But what would be a mechanism or, you know, I guess there's no stomach or no will inside of, and I guess we just don't have very many good Americans in our House and in our Senate, because it would seem that
right.
a guy like Daryl Issa, you know, if he's truly the American that he says he is.
Yeah.
Why isn't he revealing what Charlotte Isherby is? You know, why
well,
isn't,
they,
because
you
know, they know, don't, Daryl Issa is not no dumbass. He knows exactly what's been done. And
well,
they see the same evidence we see.
I think it's all money and, you know, lobbying, and if you vote this way, we'll give you that what, where, we'll, you know, we'll give you what you want on abortion if you'll give us school to work or whatever,
yeah.
but. I think that, as I said before, if this and there are groups right now that are sort of, it's sort of bubbling. This is a new little something going on. I'm glad to see it. Of people in Louisiana is a state that's been hard hit, terribly and terrible for the inner city kids, right? By the charter school thing. Louisiana is very serious. Missouri is very serious. I think you are, and there are other states. This isn't, we're not talking about Common Core.
No.
We're talking about charter schools right now. And I think that if we can get together, now Jake Speed in Wisconsin, right? We've got Wisconsin, Missouri, Louisiana, and I don't want to leave any out because there are others. Pennsylvania's bad, Philadelphia. We've got groups of very bright researchers and some lawyers who are talking together now about, I don't know whether they're going to call it a class action thing or what, but we are all talking. And there's not that many, that because I didn't want to, you know, put it out there, you know, until you wait until the researchers
yeah.
themselves understand that something's got to be done. You know, you could do all the research in the world. We can put out the 8-disc set, exposing the global road to ruin. We can do all those things, but our own people have got to understand that we have to act.
Yes.
It's not, that project we had, it has a to-do kit. It's a to-do kit to take back America. But
right.
I don't know that people have gotten into it yet, and I just don't know. But I think, okay, to take back America, how? Let's just hope and pray.
Nice.
We've got to hold on to the public school system. As bad as it is, you know, as I say, you've got a rock and a hard place there. Hmm? The rock is the horrible corporate fascist communist horrible Skinnerian corporate money-grubbing international life womb-to-tomb system with no elected boards.
Yeah.
Totally communism, right? That is the rock. The hard place is the dreadfully, deliberately dumbed-down system where the teachers were victimized even more than the students. That's a hard place right there. But we have to come down on the side of public education because there are too many, not just because there are too many children out there who are going to suffer from this other one, but because it was a wonderful system and it has to be restored or else the country's gone.
Yeah.
We can't.
Well, at least, Charlotte, it gives us a place to go and stand. As citizens, when we're outraged by what's taking place, we can go to our representative, you know, the school board, and we can stand and we can confront them and we can say, yes, we're willing to fix this. We want it repaired.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go any other way and we go outside of public schools, there, you know, we won't have a voice. There will be no voice. There will be no representative government to us.
So glad to hear that, you know, there are people who understand this as you all do, and I just think that, you know, even if we have to bring down the United States Department of Education, absolutely have to be brought down.
Yes.
And that is something that we should just tell our elected officials, you are going to do that.
Yeah.
Or else we're going to descend on Washington. Now, the French would do it. Why can't Americans descend on Washington like other countries do? I mean, look at the
May.
They got rules now.
that's the problem.
Yeah, they made rules where we can't confront them.
It's true.
But on May 15th,
there you go.
There is going to be an American Spring.
Yeah.
And where people will be ready, willing, and able to stay in D.C. for as long as it takes to eliminate the administration and Congress. And
there
are people ready, willing, and able to step in and take over until that happens, you know, as an interim government. But one of the things that you said, Charlotte, I've been playing around with for the longest time, and I think part of the problem is the kids growing up in the last 20 to 30 years, were no longer taught how to think. They were taught what to think.
What to think, yes.
And when we go to them and we say, okay, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, they look and they say, okay, what do we do?
Yeah.
We, conservatives, we say, well, we showed you what's wrong. You should be able to fix it.
That's right.
This is America. You fix it.
Yep.
Hey,
they're
ladies.
Incapable of that.
No.
Let me be the bearer of bad news. Our time is just about up, and I would definitely, Charlotte, please give everyone your websites again and your son's website so that people can go and hopefully dig into this.
I will. Well, I always shoot myself in the foot when I advertise the free download at Deliberate Dumbing Down. You know, and then people don't bother to buy what I have. But I want so much for people to have the information. The old Big Baby is out of print now, but it is a free download at deliberatedumbingdown.com. Go in there, cut, paste. It's so easy to do. You can find all these horrible quotes, you know, out of their own mouths, send it to your superintendent, send it to your congressman, et cetera. Now, the other thing is that there is the updated version of the book, which is so important because of the mental health thing now, and charter schools and all, and all, it names names, et cetera, et cetera. The updated version is 2000 on to, actually, the old baby deals with a lot of school choice, too, because this didn't just happen, you know. But
yeah.
The updated version is more Bill Gates and all that crowd and a lot of that stuff, plus the mental health thing. And that's at Amazon.com. You can buy that, Deliberate Dumbing Down, the abridged updated version. The other thing that is so wonderful that we worked so hard on, the 8-disc thing that you're involved in, is at Amazon.com. That is Exposing the Global Road to Ruin to Education. That's at Amazon.
Yeah.
And, you know, the... And that's at Amazon. And then the other website, AmericanDeception.com, is incredible. That
yes,
is,
it is.
Those are original documents that nobody can question in any way, that we were lucky enough to get our hands on, and my son put that together. Very,
a
very
wealth of them.
Website.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
So, thank you all very much. I love talking to people,
Charlotte,
who
we will
care.
Have you back because I love talking to you. You are an incredible wealth of information and give the most incredible insight so that people can understand what has happened to them. And we need to have you back. So I will. I promise everybody Charlotte will come back again. While you were speaking, though, I did get some good news, and I always want to share that because
good.
We have to share when things are good.
Yeah, yeah.
People in South Florida got together. They formed the Coalition for Private Property Rights.
Good.
They have been fighting the 750 plan, and the city of Boca has just voted it out of their city. Congratulations.
Oh, that's wonderful
Boca.
News.
That
excellent.
Is good news.
That
is regionalism is going to be gone out of Boca, at least on this project. And that's what programs like this and Charlotte's emails and our emails and newsletters and things like that, that's what happens when people get engaged and learn the truth. So that I like to leave on a good note. That makes me feel really, really good.
I'm very, very, I'm thrilled to hear that as well. You know, that's just marvelous news. And congratulations to those who made it happen. And you know the media is going to try to squash it. So nobody will know
we're already calling us. We are anti the environment, you know, that kind of garbage.
Oh, yeah.
But anyhow, thank you all for listening tonight. We appreciate it.
Well,
we appreciate all of everybody being with us.
Did you know we have big global warming up here in Maine?
Oh, I know, Charlotte. I hope you're warm, and I hope you have lots of food.
-15
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well,
big global warming, yeah. Okay,
that's
thank
global
you
warming.
Thank
you
Charlotte.
So much for right joining on. Us, everyone. Thank you all for joining us this week. You are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on Red State Talk Radio, Wednesday, 12 noon, Sunday, 12 in the evening. This is a fabulous interview. Please get everyone involved, get engaged, share our interviews, and make sure you go to bwcentral.org and see what the message is for Message Monday. Share that information. Also, we're proud of you, Boca. You did a wonderful job. We are proud of the American people for getting engaged. We are proud to be Americans. Thank you all for listening. Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks. John, this has been a slice of heaven.
Yes, it has been, dear. I've enjoyed it. And God bless the people of Florida for their actions. And let's all keep our brothers and sisters that may be in for a hard freeze. Let's keep them in our prayers. And God bless America, everybody.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlotte. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Have a
night.
Wonderful evening. Good night, Sally.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Good night, John.
Bye.
Good night.